If you've listened to my programs recently, you won't be surprised to discover that climate change is again at the top of my agenda. Yes, I must confess, I am worried. But then so are hundreds and thousands of ordinary people like myself who listen to news, watch documentaries, and read the papers. They're all warning climate change is one of the greatest environmental, social, and economic threats facing our planet today. In the past 2 months or so, I have spoken to many experts regarding the question. Today, I spoke to someone like myself, an ordinary citizen, who has decided to add his voice to those of other men and women on the street to make global public opinion really count on major global issues like poverty, human rights, global security, and of course, climate change. Actually, Tom Perriello does more than that. He works hard to make those voices heard. And he does that as campaign director for an organization called Avaaz.org, which is trying to build a powerful movement of citizens without borders.
Avaaz.org is an online community for global citizens to take actions on urgent global issues. So that would include climate change, global poverty, the crisis in the Middle East. Increasingly, there is a set of issues that are not stuck within particular borders. So as citizens, as people of conscience, we need to also be thinking as global citizens. So Avaaz.org exists to ensure that the views and values of the world's people shape global decisions. And a lot of that is using the latest technology, whether that's email, web 2.0, SMS, text messaging, to empower people to contact their global decision makers, whether that's a corporation, or the United Nations, or the media, or their own government, when urgent opportunities come up to make a difference.
The thinking behind this, Tom explained, is that global public opinion has been called the new superpower. But there's still a huge gap between the world we have and the world most people want. And Avaaz members believe that the technological revolution gives us the opportunity to close that gap.
It's going extremely well, and we already have about 1 million participants from 180 countries who are taking actions. We're running campaigns on climate change, on restarting the peace talks in the Middle East, and on the Iraq escalation. So it's been tremendous to see the kind of response we've got. We're operating in 12 languages, so it really is a chance to get a sense of how people all over the world are feeling and caring about these crucial moral challenges.
Tom, what does Avaaz stand for?
It means voice in several Asian, Middle Eastern, and some European languages. It's actually the root for the word voice in English as well.
So are people from all over the world communicating with you?
They are indeed. We have almost 1 million people from basically every country on Earth. And we're excited because over a third of our members are coming from the Southern Hemisphere. So despite the digital divide, we are able to get a solid participation of people around the world. With our work in the Middle East, we've had people through a number of countries in that region. We certainly have high participation rates from Europe, Canada, Australia as well. So we do feel like this is a global community coming together to speak with one voice based on our common humanity more than on other forms of identity.
The very first time I noticed an Avaaz communique, it was about climate change. Why is this such a priority?
Well, it's a priority for scientific reasons. The consensus is in that the overwhelming balance of evidence shows that humans are having an effect on our climate and that that effect could be catastrophic. But it's also a political crisis in the sense that over 90% in a recent global survey of people from 30 countries around the world, over 90% of people consider this a serious problem. Yet our political leaders still haven't done much about it. They've taken little baby steps. So we also see this as a really good example of the gap between the world most human beings want and the world so far that we have. So we've taken on this campaign because we believe it's an urgent moral crisis in terms of the effect it's having on our world, but also as a political crisis of where we need to close that gap between the world's people and the world's leaders.
And with that in mind, Avaaz members very recently took action by presenting a petition with over 105,000 signatures to the G8 environment ministers as they met in a preliminary meeting for the big summit in June. This is how it read.
Climate change is the greatest threat facing our world today, and we are almost out of time to stop it. You must tackle this problem now, decisively and together. Start working toward a new global agreement this year. Set binding global targets for emissions to avert catastrophic climate change. Take bold action immediately, and we will join our efforts with yours.
And the minister from Germany who was hosting the event ended up holding up our petition and using it to corral the other ministers into action, saying the people around the world have spoken and we need to respond. We've also produced a television advertisement in several languages about the urgency of climate change that is running on television stations on three continents at the moment, again, trying to send a wake-up call to our leaders about the importance of this issue. And the goal of this campaign has been to force the G8 to put this at the top of their agenda for their meeting in June. It started out not on the agenda at all, then we got it onto the agenda, and now it's at the top of the agenda. And our hope is that a concrete agreement can come out of that meeting in June to say the G8 will take leadership on this issue and on binding greenhouse gas reduction.
What exactly are you asking the environment ministers to do?
There's a very technical side of that, but the basic side is that it's time to commit to meaningful greenhouse gas reductions to levels that will prevent no more than a 2-degree rise in global temperatures, which is the level scientists have said will be necessary to prevent potentially catastrophic change. So our logic is simple. Let's find out what needs to be done. The scientists can tell us that. And then our job is to tell the politicians not to leave the room until they've made that happen. And there's also a situation with climate change where you have a number of countries, particularly some of the more developed countries, who've contributed the vast majority of greenhouse gas emissions. But you also have developing countries who are starting to contribute.
Tom says that part of what's important is also to think about justice concerns.
How is it that the most polluting countries can take the first step and show leadership while bringing on other countries to make sure that they're not developing in a way that will exacerbate this problem? So what we're looking for is a solution that has meaningful greenhouse gas reduction that ends up binding all the countries in the world, but doing so in a way that is fair and recognizes the relative contributions to the problem.
Tom, what action do you plan to take next within the field of climate change?
A couple of things. One, every time the G8 continues to meet in advance of this meeting, we want to make sure the global voice is there. We will be there through advertisements, billboards, and media. We'll be there by being in the meetings and presenting petitions. So there's a line of simply continuing to bird dog the minister so that they know this pressure is there, this public pressure is there. The other thing we're doing, and we try to always do as an organization, is be responsive to our members. So we poll our members, we talk to them about what they would most like to see happening in this debate, what they feel is missing. We'd like to have the ability, I think within about 2 weeks, that people will be able to contact their own heads of state about this through our website, so that anyone in the world will be able to do that with the click of a button on the internet. So we want to keep developing tools that further empower people to have a voice in these processes.
So you're actually connecting the people to the power.
That's right. That's right. I think in my experience, and I've worked in West Africa and Afghanistan and the Balkans in Latin America, and the one thing that I've found in every part of the world is that people understand globalization is this great opportunity, but also a great and somewhat scary challenge. And I think part of that gap is that people see these decisions being made that affect their lives, have very immediate effects on their lives. But so far, they haven't had a way to affect those decisions. So it feels like a one-way street. Things are only happening to us as individuals in this globalization process instead of us being able to shape that. And that's what we want to do, is flip that equation. Give people the power both through as individuals through technology, but also as a community of people who share a set of values of what kind of world they want to see, and becoming essentially like a constituency or a bloc without borders.
Are you optimistic?
I am optimistic. I believe that the situation right now of whether life will be better or worse in 50 years for most people is up to us. I don't think it's fated one way or the other. I think this is one of these moments in history where what we do will determine what life is like for people in 50 years. And I think one of the most exciting opportunities, one of the greatest reasons for hope, is creative use of these new technologies, being able to create a sense of global community that has never existed before or has existed in very rare cases. So I think it's both a very scary time, but it's also one of the most hopeful, because we finally have the capacity, the technology, the global identity to start functioning based on our sense of a common humanity.
And one of the strong voices that is ringing out with concern for the fate of our planet is that of Pope Benedict XVI, who since the beginning of his pontificate, more and more forcefully, is calling for the protection of creation, as in his apostolic exhortation, Sacramentum Caritatis.
The justified concern about threats to the environment, present in so many parts of the world, is reinforced by Christian hope, which commits us to working responsibly for the protection of creation.